This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to a special training episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September the 16th, episode 999. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Omega Fields. Good morning, Horse World.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. And we want to welcome Christy back from the CHA. Hey, Christy.
Hi, Glenn. How are you today? I'm very excited to be here.
Good. And you sound much better. We had to have Christy call back because she had a horrible connection. So that's why she was not, her lovely voice was not in the opener this morning. But it is so good to have you back. And I have to thank you, first of all. You've been doing this now for what, since the beginning of the year, right?
Right, we started in January.
Yeah, so we've been doing this for many, many months, and you've been part of the 1,000 episodes. As of tomorrow, we will be at 1,000 episodes here at Horses in the Morning, and obviously you've been part of that, so I just wanted to give you a great big thank you for that.
Well, Glenn, thank you. I want to tell you what's so exciting about this. I have this thing with 99s. So I graduated high school in 1989. I got married in 1999, and now we're hosting the 999th show. I love that.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
All these 99s.
And you're the only one that's ever going to host the 999th show.
Oh, I feel
never
so special.
Yeah, it's never going to happen again. And, you know, we
love
really,
it.
I'm not too sure we thought we'd be here after that. But we're still here. It's 4 years later. Actually, November 1st will be 4 years that we've been doing this. This show, the network's been 6 years, but this show's been 4 years every day. And when we started it, I remember people saying, well, you can't do a show every day just about horses. What are you going to talk about? So we've been down that. We've certainly found plenty to talk about over the years.
Yes, there's a
and
lot.
Thanks to people like you joining in here once a month. It brings a little variety and a little context to some different things in the horse world. And today we're going to be talking some training and things. We're going to find out from Jennifer what exactly is coming up in today's show.
On today's Certified Horsemanship Horse, I still can't say that. We need to change the name of the
it's
show.
It's been 10 months and she still can't say that.
Just say CHA, Jen. That'll be just fine.
Yeah, that'll work.
On today's CHA Training Tuesday by Omega Fields, we're going to go all natural with a fun-filled yet informative chat about natural aids. Starting us out, Canadian trainer Tara Reamer sends us forward with the what and why of natural aids. And then Coloradan Jerry Barnes takes a stab at natural aids gone wrong. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And, of course, you know, we are here with the Certified Horsemanship Association. They are the third Tuesday of every month. They join us, and we talk training horses and people and all of that good stuff. And, of course, Christy is with us every the third Tuesday of every month. And we do talk about what is coming up and what's going on at the CHA. So what has happened in the last month since I talked to you last?
Well, what I'd love to talk about is if anybody out there is interested, I want to give some of our regional conference dates because this is not just for instructors. This is for anybody to go. Our regional conferences are very hands-on. Many of them have some sort of a lecture included with them that involves horses where people can actually get on and ride too, which is neat. So our first one that's coming up is September 20th and 21st, so here really soon. And that's for the folks listening out in the California area, especially down by Norco. And that's going to be going on at Pepper Glen Farm. And it actually has an AXA obstacle trail ride challenge on the one day, and then our regional conference is on the next day. So some people are going to stay for both. Some people are going to come just for the one. But you can find out more about that on our website. And then the next month here in October, Region 9, which is where I'm located, they are having their conference on October the 11th here in Colorado in Denver in conjunction with Formative Haptic Equine, and they're going to be doing a horse and human anatomy class where they're actually going to have the bones of the skeleton of a horse, probably more like Pekingese size than draft horse size, if you get my drift. So the bones can sit on a table in front of you. And then we're going to be putting the actual ligaments and tendons of the horse on with clay and then doing the same thing with the human skeleton that's sitting on the horse, putting our ligaments and tendons on and talking about biomechanics.
That's a great way to learn that. Yeah.
We're really excited about that one.
It's either that or you're going to gross everybody out. One of the two. It's going to happen.
Well, they're going to bring in, one of our local regional directors is bringing in her horse, and they're actually going to bring the horse into the building. They have big mats in there. So we get a live model as well.
Oh, cool.
Kind of neat. Yeah.
Very good. I've never heard it quite and done then, that way, actually, with the whole clay thing. That's
well,
a neat
what's
idea.
Neat about this is, you know, Susan Harris was one of our originators back in the day,
yeah.
And she, of course, does the whole anatomy in motion. You've had her on the show numerous times.
Yeah.
She learned from this gentleman who's doing this class for us.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. He was her teacher originally years and years ago. So pretty fun. And then Region 8 is going to be the next one, and that one's in November, the 14th through the 16th. And Region 8 is going to be your Texas area. And it's going to be at the Texas Rose Horse Park near Tyler. And they're going to have a two-day event. They're going to actually start in the evening on the 14th with some food and some fun and then go all the way through the weekend. And there's horses that are going to be available to ride that are being brought in. So to find out more about any of those regional conferences, again, open to any of you listening, please go to our website, chainstructors.com. And click on the conference bar, and you can contact a regional director and get registered today.
Very good. Sounds like fun. You guys do have a lot going on here in the fall. It doesn't wind down for you. Here it sort of kicks up a little bit.
Yeah, we tend to be a little bit slower in the summer because that's when everyone's working, right? All of our instructors are out working and getting their jobs done. So we tend to do a lot more in the spring and in the fall. And then we take a little break in the winter, but it doesn't feel like a break because then we're preparing for the next year, right? But most of our clinics at this point to get certified are winding down. These are actual educational events where people are getting their continuing education if they're instructors of ours or anyone who wants to come is just enjoying and learning.
Very good. And then you have some other things coming up too, don't you?
We do. We have our big event, Glenn, that goes on every fall at our international conference, and that one's in October, and that one is the 23rd through the 26th of October in Lexington, in our home state where CHA is located. And again, for those listening, it's for anybody. We start on a Thursday with things going on at the hotel. We're going to be at the Marriott Griffin Gate Hotel for those that know the Lexington area well. And then we have Darlene Newman from Equitrekking, who I know has also been on the
Yay.
Show. She's coming in that evening.
We love Darlene.
We love her.
Hey, you can't.
So great.
Now, let me give you a lesson here with Darlene, okay, so you don't screw this up. when you have Darlene on, you can't just say you have Darlene from Equitrekking. You have to say Emmy Award-winning Darlene from Equitrekking.
Yes, I need to make a note.
You need to make a note of that, and don't screw
I'm
that up.
A note.
Because
okay.
Yes, when we introduce her, it's always Emmy Award-winning Darlene from Equitrekking. You need to get the embarrassment level up as much as possible, yes.
And she'll know that you probably made me say it, too.
Exactly.
Which will be even better.
But she is Emmy Award-winning. Multiple Emmy Award-winning Darlene from Equitrekking.
And I think that's pretty cool and needs to be mentioned. So, no, I'm excited. So I'll tell you what I've hired, Glenn, because I'm very scared. We have hired a local AV company, and I said, you need to stay there. You cannot set it up and then leave. You need to stay for her entire talk, because if anything crashes and burns, she can't show us the African elephant about to run her over. She can't show all the other fabulousness that she has from her shows, and you have got to have AV. So the audiovisual guy has to stay.
So she's doing like your keynote?
She is.
Yeah, well, she and you. She is great. She's so much fun. We do love having Darlie on. She's so much fun. And she has so many stories. She has the job that every horse girl's ever wanted.
It's, oh, yes, without a doubt. We're all very jealous of her, and I'm sure we're going to let her know.
Now, do you have a keynote speaker every day or just one, or how does that work?
We have one every day. So then on the Friday, we bus everybody over. It's only a mile to the horse park, and we actually have the United States Polo Association coming on our lunch break to do the keynote while we're all eating, except for a few of us are going to get to go down and actually play a mock game of polo, and they call it polo at the walk and trot, so we don't get run off with, I guess. So we have to do walk, trot, polo, but we're so looking forward to even what that's like. We're just thrilled that they're bringing their horses in and going to let us do that.
Is this your first time?
You know, I have never done polo before, and they probably won't let me because I'm the coordinator of the event, so I'll probably have to behave myself and sit on the sideline, but I'm hoping eventually I'll get to play. I would love to know more.
Now, are these all people who haven't played before, or this is actually going to be a real polo demonstration?
The actual United States Polo Association are bringing in real polo players. They're going to play a real game. Then they're going to talk about the real game while it's going. Then they're going to invite those that want to come down and get on and do a walk-trot game that have never played before.
Oh, that should be fun. Are they playing with a Nerf ball?
I hope so.
I like that. Nerf polo.
Yes, I hope so.
Can we use maybe a Nerf stick, too, so that...
pool noodle. Nerf ball,
yeah,
pool noodle.
Noodles. There you go.
That's a great idea.
With a beach ball.
I like
you know, like we used to do.
That's pretty good.
Remember donkey basketball back in the day, and you'd ride the donkey bareback and do all that?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
kind of reminds me of that a bit.
Every year they had donkey basketball. Yep.
So that's our fun on Friday, and then on Saturday, the National Reining Horse Association is coming over, and they're doing their Rider Reiner with us at lunch. So they're going to have their professional reiners come over. They are doing it at the old covered arena for us, and it's local Lexington trainer.
Are they located at the horse park, though, the National Reining Association?
No, they're located in Oklahoma City.
That's what I thought, yeah, okay. Well, that's great that they're coming out to do that.
Isn't that exciting?
Are
the local trainers will come and
then?
Do that. Oh, I doubt it. And I never get to do anything fun, Glenn. This is the deal with this deal. I don't like this deal at all. But this deal is, Christy, you schluck, you put it all together, you make it wonderful, and just like you would like to do, and then no, you don't get to play in the sandbox at all.
You don't get to do any of it.
No, nothing. Zero.
However, you do get to go on some cool rides during the year. You get out a little bit.
Get out a little bit. I certainly cannot complain. No, I definitely do.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
And then we have one more keynoter I have to mention. Yep. Saturday evening, the 25th, we've got Patty Colbert coming, who is part of her own enterprises. She calls it Patty Colbert Enterprises. And she is the one that's coordinating the Time to Ride event that's been going on around the country through American Horse Council. And I don't know if you've ever heard her talk. She does a talk on generational differences between moms, especially, that are in charge of the household money for what kids do extracurricularly. And she says the difference between a boomer mom, a Generation X mom, a Generation Y mom, and, you know, sometimes you have the grandparents now are in charge, right, not necessarily the parent themselves, and how they pick and choose what kind of sports kids are going to do and those kinds of things. It is hilariously funny and eye-opening, and it's really, really well done.
That sounds like something I would really enjoy as a horse husband.
It's really fun.
Yeah. You know, I see a big hole, though. There's somebody missing in your keynotes this year, and I really thought you guys would have stepped up and would have contacted her and had her come out. And that is Joanna Rohrbuck of Prancercise fame. I just thought that you would have had her there doing her Prancercising all over the convention center.
Well, now that I know more about it, then I'll have to do some YouTube videoing, and who knows what the future might hold.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
I have not. I am out of the loop.
Oh, just look up Prancercise and watch the YouTube videos, and I guarantee you'll never be having her out. But it is entertaining a little bit, to say the least, and disturbing.
Oh, I can't wait.
A whole lot.
I can't wait.
Check it out.
I will check it out.
Yes. But you do,
so for people
you do
that
want to
come.
Terrific lineup. What a terrific lineup of people you do have coming. And that's
well, we're
just
so excited.
Keynote.
And
that's
then
not
that's
everything
the
else.
Keynote. Yes, all the other breakout sessions. We have over 45 speakers coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And we do it every year. Every year. We have fun and frolic. And it's, so next year, it's in Amarillo, Texas next year. The American Quarter Horse Association Hall of Fame and Museum is having us. So.
Oh, cool. Very good.
Yeah. Exciting.
That'll be fun. And now, people, if they want to come, how does that work? They don't have
all
to
they
be
need
members,
to do,
right?
They do not. They just have to be somebody that likes a horse. Yep.
Okay.
And they can go to our website and register, chainstructors.com, or they can call us up and register. They can even show up, but the problem with that is we do provide meals. So if too many people just show up, there won't be enough meals. So we'd rather them pre-register.
Okay. Very cool. So what if there's one thing, you know, or one or two things that you're looking forward to this year that you haven't seen before or that's new to something that you haven't done before, what would it be? And you've been there, you know, forever. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I've been doing this a really long time, and I love putting it together because, to be honest with you, almost all of it is stuff that I'd really like to see. But we've got a roundtable discussion, which I think is fun, where people are going to be able to rotate to the different roundtables four different times. And we've got all the different horse organizations coming to be able to talk about how instructors can work into their program some of these different groups and teach towards the skills that these different groups like. So Lisa Wykowski's coming from American Trail Horse Association.
Lisa.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have her. Marianna Woods, who used to own Elmer, who was the North American Trail Ride Conference competitive horse that was 30-something and still going strong. She's coming. Roxanne Lawrence, who runs the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, the high school program. She's coming. Jan Weber with American Vaulting Association and Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen's Association.
Wow. Well, you do have certainly have a lineup coming, and it's going to be the place to be October 23rd through the 26th. Now, that is Halloween time. Are you having a costume party?
You know, I don't know if we are this year or not. I'm not really in charge of fun because even though I enjoy being on the radio show and stuff, I'm not really, like, in charge of fun. Nobody lets me do that. They say I'm too serious, Glenn, so I can't be in charge of the fun.
All right. Well, I'll be anxious to hear what your costume is, okay?
Okay. I'll have a photo for you, yes.
It is the perfect time, October 23rd through the 26th. I'd hate for you to miss that opportunity, you know, with all those wild people in the room.
It would be nice to have all the fall colors, too.
Darlie can wear
beautiful.
One of her gowns that she wore on the red carpet, and she can, you know, she can carry her Emmy, you know. It's an idea, Darlie.
I'll tell her.
Well, are your
she might
first
just
guest?
Do it.
Yeah, she would too. Your first guests are ready. If you want to say hello.
Oh, I would love to do that. This is a wonderful. We're very excited to have them today. Sean and Allison are with Omega Fields, and Omega Fields is. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are
Christy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are thrilled to have you on today. So we're just going to jump right in here and find out more about Omega Fields and how it all works. So let's go ahead and start with how did Omega Fields get started, Sean and Allison, and how long have you guys been in the horse nutrition industry?
Well, first of all, thanks, Christy, Glenn, for having us on. We really appreciate the opportunity. And the Omega Fields has been a brand since about 2002, so we're going on a little over 12 years. It got started, making a very long story short, I changed careers about 13 years ago. I was a commercial insurance broker and risk manager for 15 years and then made a career change into the health and nutrition industry, starting in a trading environment, and then that progressed. I started a small trading company working with organic ingredients and other specialty ingredients, and one of those was flaxseed. And this was just at the beginning of the popularity of omega-3, and it started to pop up in human products and animal nutrition products, but it wasn't really well understood. And the company that I was helping market their products was a division of a large commercial bakery in Wisconsin called Natural Ovens, and they were started by a really forward-thinking guy and his wife named Paul and Barbara Stitt. He was a biochemist by training. And 25 years ago, he set omega-3 as the foundation to his bakery products vision. So he was way ahead of the curve. But being a biochemist, he was always a problem solver. Flax has an inherent problem with it when you mill it. It's 40% oil by volume, and it goes rancid very quickly if you break open the seed. So he developed a technology that was patented at the time that was for stabilization in a natural way of high-fat oil seeds, flax being his particular. And then he built a small milling company around that technology to primarily serve his bakery, but also he was very much into animals. He had horses and dogs and chickens, and he developed some formulas, and that was the genesis of what became Omega Field. So we took that concept and in 2002 developed the brand Omega Fields around some of those key horse products and products for dogs, Omega Horse Shine being our flagship product, and Omega Canine Shine being our dog product. And then in 2004, we saw an opportunity. He was looking to do some other things with the bakery, and we ended up buying the milling company that makes our products. So we own the milling facility and had field-to-bag control over the process and the product, and that's how Omega Fields was born. It was a part of a milling company. And today it's a brand that focuses primarily on the horse industry, and health and nutrition started with the concept of omega-3, and
that's wonderful. And Sean, I never knew that about flax and it turning rancid with being 40% oil, but that makes so much sense that would be really a hard thing to deal with.
It's a different type of seed. Most grains have the oil and a germ, and you can easily remove it when you process the grain. But in flaxseed, it's very unique in that the oil is distributed through all of the seed meat, and you can't separate it other than by crushing it. And you don't want to do that in a milling environment without having it the stabilization technology. So that's really key to what we do. We put a 18-month shelf life guarantee on our product. It'll stay shelf stable, no unusual storage for requirements, no refrigeration, no freezing. People can use it very confidently for a long time. That really is the magic sauce in our product.
So you had mentioned, Sean, about how large the horse world is and how diverse. So how does Omega Fields remain connected to get the word out to everyone?
Sure, I can answer that question. I'm Allie, our Director of Business Development, and we really focus really, really a lot on how can we stay connected with our customers and potential customers. We have a U-Shine donation program where we donate product and product literature to 4-H groups, rescues, along with other worthy associations and organizations that they use on their trail rides or shows, silent auctions. And we also have a group of ambassadors and spokespeople, really a grassroots style, where they promote our products across the horse industry. We have endurance riders, cutting trainers, barrel racers, combined driving. Our Omega Horse Shine flagship product, our ambassador is Ivory Pale. He's a pretty well-known Tennessee walking stallion. Raphael Valley owns him. So all of the animals on our product packaging, they are our ambassadors as users. So every picture that you see on our website or packaging, those animals use our products. We also have a great partnership with Pirelli Natural Horsemanship. Linda and Pat Pirelli, we're in our second year with them. Our Omega Fields products are the first supplements that they've ever endorsed. So we're really proud to be connected with them in the natural way. And finally, social media, so huge these days. So we have a Facebook page that is close to 36,000 fans, and we're really active in other platforms as well, along with Pinterest, Instagram. We have a YouTube channel as well as Twitter.
Wonderful. So it seems like most of your products then, going back to Flax, that they're kind of centered around that. Can you tell us what else you have as far as product ingredients?
Sure. Flax is the foundation to all of our products, whether it's for horses or dogs or humans. And that's really because of the amazing benefits of omega-3 essential fatty acids. Animals, humans, we don't get it in any other form except taking it in. You can't eat another type of food and it turns into omega-3. You have to take it in as a primary source. And flaxseed is one of the richest known sources of omega-3 fatty acids. So that is the foundation. We use other ingredients like stabilized rice bran, another highly valuable fat in the system, as well as a good protein source. We use whole grain sorghum. We use, in certain products, we use high-quality steamed rolled oats. Everything that we do at a production level is human grade, all of the ingredients, all of the grains. The facility that we use is also a human grade facility. Nothing goes out of that that is quote unquote feed or animal grade. We're very proud of that because I think it helps ensure the safety of the animals and the nutritional quality of the products. So we're centered around non GMO ingredients. The facility that makes all of the products is non-GMO, allergen-free, and there are no like animal byproducts at that facility used. So it is a high-level production facility, and we use only those natural non-GMO ingredients in our products. So all the grains are non-GMO, all of the other vitamin mineral additives are non-GMO. And that's really a strong commitment that we've made to the nutritional value of our products.
Well, we as owners appreciate that commitment. So we've heard, though, through the grapevine, that you and Allie have some exciting news about Omega Fields that you want to share with us. But what is that before we leave today?
Sure. Well, we have been working on this for a long time, a lot of customer feedback. We will be launching. It's today. It may be a few days out, but we are going to be launching a brand new website that gives our customers and anybody interested to learn more about the health and nutrition value of omega-3 and flax and the other things we're doing, a very easy to use platform. The one key thing is that it's going to give all of those customers that love our product the ability to have automatic reorder, automatic ship without any hassle. Just a lot of really neat features built into it that have taken really years of customer feedback about how to make that experience and the connection better, about learning. There'll be a very easy to navigate section for training videos and informational articles, things for consumers to really dig in and learn before they make a decision to try our products. But for those that already love it, very easy to use platform and an ability for them to kind of automate and take the hassle out of the buying process. So we're really excited about that. We're also really looking forward to coming to your conference, Christy, and getting more involved with CHA as a group. So we can't wait to see this develop over the years, and really glad to have the opportunity to meet you and be part of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. We're so excited to have you too next month. And so everyone on the radio show understands where to go and find this fabulous new website. Could you please go ahead and give that to us?
Sure. It's the conventional www.omegafields.com. www.omegafields.com.
Well, thank you, Sean and Allie, so much today for joining us and for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Christy, Glenn, thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
And that's omegafields.com is the website where you can find all of that information. And, you know, it's interesting. You've been through this before. People may hear, you know, oh, there's a new website coming with new technology and think, oh, you know, that's just why is that such a big deal? If you've never worked on a commercial website where you're integrating new things and new back ends and new front ends, it is a pain in the butt, and it takes a long time, and it just sucks all your time as a business owner. So I know exactly what they're going through, and it is a difficult thing to do.
But boy, when it's done and you switch the lights on and you go into that website and you hear that it's working, you just want to sing, hallelujah.
I know. I've been building websites since the mid-90s when it was all HTML code and you know, it was all pretty crappy looking. And, you know, we didn't know it was crappy looking. For us, it was really cool. And then, you know, built many, many since then. And it is just a labor of love, and it is extremely expensive and time-consuming. So that's why it is such a big deal. Well, now we're going to talk training a bit, and we're talking about natural aids of writing and how to use them effectively is today's topic, and you're going to introduce our first guest from Canada.
Yes, this is Tara Reimer, and Tara Reimer is from Steinbeck, Manitoba, and she has been involved with horses for over 30 years. She shows horses. She's been a leader with 4-H. She also has driven even her family's Belgian hitch, so you'll appreciate that, Glenn. She has that driving background, too. Her and her husband, Derek, own Cloud Nine Ranch, and she spends most of her time teaching Western and English and doing vaulting lessons, training horses. She judges horse shows, and she gives clinics. She's a CHA-certified instructor with us and also a clinician, and she's also our Region 2 director up there. So welcome, Tara. How are you today?
I am awesome. How are you, Christy?
Doing well, and we're so glad that you can be on the show today. And Glenn and Jen, she's the one that came up with this fabulous idea of why don't we just talk about our body parts called the natural aids that make the horse do stuff, and let's go from there. And we were able to flush out plenty of information on natural aids and how they should work. So, Tara, will you, before we start, give a little bit more background about you that I might not have shared that you would like to share?
I think you covered it all, except I'll say that I grew up on auction mart ponies, so I did not grow up with organized lessons. I had one lesson growing up, and I like to make that clear because I had to learn the hard way of getting bucked off and my mom standing at the end of the driveway shaking the stick so the pony would keep going down the road. And so that's how I grew up, and on a dairy farm. So worked hard and always have shown. I showed my first ribbon since I was 5 years old. So
thus,
I love that aspect of it, yeah.
Thus driving Belgians. You lived on a working farm. So that's where the driving Belgians came from?
Yeah, we did that. Our family showed the Belgian hitch, and I would show my light horse. So often they were alternating classes. So I would quickly go show my horse, and then I would take my chaps off, and then I would jump on the wagon, and then I would show the Belgian hitch and keep going back and forth. So.
All right. We'll forgive you for that. I'm a Percheron guy. So
we'll
forgive
you
for the Belgian.
I know it's not like light horses in the draft horses. I'll have to tell you this joke, though, because we were at a draft horse show, and a little girl had lost her headband, so those little plastic ones that are like an eighth of an inch wide. And so the Percheron guys are like, hey, Belgian guys, you guys lost one of your horseshoes? So we were just, it's always like that. Only it's funny that it's not just in Canada around here. It's everywhere. We can openly discuss our breed preference for the draft horses.
You get that with the lighter horses too. I mean, between Arabian Thoroughbreds and all that stuff. But for some reason, there's this, like, this thing in the draft horse world where it's really pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going up in a couple of weeks to the World Percheron Congress. And
Yeah.
You won't see any Belgian guys there, I tell you that.
No.
Yeah, they'd be kicked out.
See, we actually combine ours sometimes. Our club is a Percheron Belgian club, so they have to get together.
Well, good.
Yeah, we just don't have enough draft horse teams to do both, so
I know
along.
This is totally off topic, but Christy's used to it. So now, are there any farmers left up in Canada who are using the horses anymore? I mean, obviously.
Absolutely. Actually, we have a very close family friend of ours just a few miles from our place, and he has a truck, but he does everything that he can with the horses. And so he's a bachelor, and he does the hay, and he has beef cattle, and he does, you know, obviously with the horses a lot, moving the hay and working the fields. And so, but he's not the norm here. That's just what he's chosen to do that way. But otherwise, I would say we do it for fun.
I know a lot of the organic farmers now are getting back to using the horses and away from tractors, and are doing it with horses. You know, it's not just the Amish anymore. Well, very cool.
Wouldn't we all like to go back the way it was?
I don't know. I've harnessed up horses before, and when you got to harness 4 or 6 of them in the morning, it just seems to take forever. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
You know that.
I think we've just changed the topic here.
Yeah.
I know. I love that. But you know what? You have to have natural aids even when you're driving, right? You might not use your feet much, but you use other things. So what are natural aids, Tara? Go ahead and share with us your definition of those.
Well, and I'll just say, I know it sounds like a very simple subject to talk about, but for me, I think it's very misunderstood. And natural aids in and of themselves are the body parts or parts of your body that you are born with to communicate to the horse. So that's them on the simplest terms. So you have your legs, your hands, your voice, and your weight. And I find that, you know, the young youth, they don't have that body awareness, but neither do the adults. And so when I teach them and I say, hey, this is the parts of your body that you can use, they're like, oh, wow, I had no idea that my weight even affected the horse. I had no idea that it had that much of an impact. So for me, it's like the building blocks. It's like learning a new language. You need to know that in order to be able to communicate to your horse, because that's the language your horse understands.
So give me the example then of what an artificial aid would be if those are natural aids, because I know we hear that terminology a lot too.
Yeah, so the artificial aids, there's just spurs, crops, whips. They're extensions of your body, but you're not born with them. So they either increase the leverage or increase the degree of pressure that you're applying, but it's not just you naturally. So we would call those artificial aids.
So why do you think the natural aids are effective in communicating to the horse?
So like I said, I think that's often people come here for lessons anyways, and they have this misconception in their minds that they're going to teach the horse what works for them as a rider. And I very quickly say, no, you're here to learn how to ride my horses. And I know that everywhere, you know, there's some variation as to how we train our horses, but, you know, the basics is there, move away from pressure. And so we want these riders to know that it is actually their responsibility and their job to learn the horse's language. And so what is the horse's language? You know, I often use the analogy of if you're learning Japanese, because that's something that most of us wouldn't just know that language, you have to learn all those sounds. And if you don't learn them correctly when you talk to somebody else in that language, your message gets all muddled up and they don't get the proper message that you're trying to send. And I see that the same as with our riders. Until they really learn how to coordinate their natural aids, and that means being able to use all of them at some times all together in different ways, then once they can learn that coordination, then they're able to effectively communicate to their horse what they want to do. And I guess because I grew up loving to show so much, and I certainly don't push that here, but we do have some people that come with me on the show circuit. And so when you start doing that type of level of competition or those types of patterns, and you have to be quite precise and your timing has to be right on. And so we feel like, okay, let's teach our riders how to properly learn that language, and then they have the tools to actually tell the horse what they want when they want it in a kind, you know, a kind way that the horse understands.
So I have a question for you then. Could you give our listening audience some specific examples? I know, for example, you know, I get told a lot and I teach a lot, well, what part of my leg should I be using? You know, is it my thigh, my calf, my heel? You know, what part of my natural aids? So could you give us some examples of some different exercises that folks could do?
Sure. So one of the ones that we do is first of all, finding out what kind of, we'll start with the leg, what kind of pressure does your horse best respond to in a certain situation, pressure and leg position. So we just do some really small circles where the horse is bending around your leg, and I say take your outside leg slightly back, so from, you know, center position, just bring it back an inch or so, and then try, we have three different types of pressure that we use here, so you can just push with your leg, you can bump, or you can grind. And so there's a three very different ways to use the same leg in the same position, and then you can coordinate your legs differently. But this exercise, you're going in a small circle, and I'll say, okay, bring your outside leg back slightly, and then I want you to first just squeeze with your leg or push, and I clarify, you know, there's different parts of your leg. So there's the calf muscle, which is the top part of their riding boot, or there's the heel. So when we squeeze, we use the calf muscle, and we say, okay, squeeze with your leg. Okay, how does the horse turn? Watch its bend. Watch its head. How does it react for you? So do a couple circles like that. Okay, now bump with that same leg, and then see how the horse responds for you. And then also then we do grind. And what a grind is because our students don't wear spurs, but it kind of mimics that idea. So it's, I tell them it's like there's a bug under their heel and they're trying to crush that bug. So they're grinding that heel up and down and kind of reaching underneath the horse to get the grind. With that, you have to make sure that they don't lift their leg up to the rib cage of the horse, because often when you say pull your outside leg back, for some reason they always want to pull it up. So I give them that little exercise, and anybody can do that. And it's very interesting to see which one your horse will respond better. So for some, you'll get a really nice bend by grinding, and for some horses that might be too much pressure. They might say no, and they actually move away from your leg, and then they collapse into their turn. Does that make sense?
And that is so true. I have two very different horses. I only own two right now, and I teach on both of them. And one of them is more stoic, and so it definitely takes a little bit more, you know, that whole ask, tell, command principle where you ask just with your voice, right, and then you tell with maybe some leg, and then the command, sometimes you got to get out the artificial aid called the crop and just do a little bump on the shoulder and say, hello, I'm up here. And then the opposite end of the spectrum is the hot-blooded thoroughbred horse, and he's like, oh, you're breathing in? Fabulous, I'm trotting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're breathing out? Fabulous, I'm walking, right? So
yes.
It's really good, you're absolutely right, for the riders to understand that not every horse is going to be the same when it comes to their natural aid.
No, and I think that as instructors we have to be careful that we don't just say, okay, use that outside leg, because often, you know, we do a little checklist with the students and I'll say, okay, when I told you to do, you know, it can be as basic for beginners, because we teach natural aids right away, right from the start. And so I'll say, okay, in that reverse, how did you use? And we go through each part of those natural aids. What did you do with your inside leg? What did you do with your outside leg? And it's crazy the different responses you get. They don't all understand it the same way that we intended it to be. And so then we go through that and say, okay, how did that work for you? And, like, how about you try this? Because you can teach it, but, of course, a lot of our students only get to come ride once a week. And so I tried learning piano here a few months ago, and I tell you, if I only had to go once a week to learn that, I wouldn't remember a whole lot from week to week. So,
no, that is so true. And, you know, when you're doing this, too, you just have to be cognizant of the fact that everyone does think different. And what do they say? We have to say something like numerous times for somebody to even understand it. And if you think about a riding lesson, it's so auditory. right?
Yes, very much.
We're talking to them. And so many people don't listen well, right? They just don't because they're so busy working with the horse or their mind's wandering or whatever. So, yes, I think that that's really good to have them repeat it back to you of what are you doing exactly and then have them maybe tell you something that's like, wow, that's not at all what I said, but that's great. At least you're still getting the concept or you know what, we need to explain that a little bit differently so that you understand more clearly. So, super.
And
so
with that leg...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say with that leg exercise, even with adults that have ridden for years, they don't even seem to always be aware that there's different ways to use that leg. So I think that's important too because people use different parts of their leg. They're like, oh, I was using my knee. Oh, I was using my heel.
Correct. Do you have an importance of natural aids that you share?
What do you mean by that?
Like, do you feel that one should be tried first and then move along, or do you think that they're all equal?
Oh, yes. I promote here, I always try to give my students something to aim for. And I don't, you know, our students can, just like anywhere else, they can go on to own their own horses, trail ride, show, do anything, and we don't know that. We may only have them for those short 8 to 10 weeks, and we may never see them again. So I like to instill in them enough skills to do whatever it is safely. But I also like to say, okay, I think you should, you know, what you want to have a goal. And I said, my goal is when I get on a horse is to be able to ride them bridleless. So I want to be able to ride my horses with my body and be able to communicate. And so we do have horses here that we can do that with. And so when I give them that goal, then they actually have to use all parts of their body. Now, when I say which is the most important, I think that they're all very important, but I would say that which is used the least or most incorrectly would be the weight. Students, you know, even in a side pass, they go to the gate because we do trail classes. You go to the gate and they're pushing so hard, especially the youth, they're pushing so hard with that outside leg to push that horse into the gate and they lean away from the gate. And so they're counteracting what they're trying to do. They're telling the horse two different cues or even just a regular side pass, and they don't even realize it because they're working so hard to do it, and yet they're giving their horse mixed signals, and oftentimes, you know, it doesn't work unless, of course, one of their weight or leg is stronger than the other one, then it overtakes it. So I would say weight is most misunderstood and not used correctly, but I would say that, I don't know that... To answer your question clearly, I wouldn't say that one is more important than the other ones.
Very good. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I know for some disciplines, like in dressage, it's illegal to use your voice command while you're actually showing. So I know a lot of times, you know, the voice command is a great thing when we're recreational riding or showing in some disciplines, but some you have to look at your rule book and go, oh, I didn't know I couldn't cluck to my horse to make it go. So there's some things there, too, that are really important.
You can use your voice, very subtly, and you can even just through breathing techniques. You know, like to me, breathing, yes, it shifts your weight, but even, you know, we do lunge line futurities with our yearlings, and you can do a lot, of course, you're using your voice a lot for them out on the lunge line, but even showmanship horses and stuff like that, like we find that breathing out just before you stop, and we always say breathe out like you're blowing out birthday candles, you get horses stopping so hard and so quick to that. And, you know, it's coming through your mouth, so, you know, it's kind of using your voice at the same, and you're not actually saying anything.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think breath is another one that is so important, because when we sit on top of our horse and we hold our breath, what does that do to every muscle in our body? Tenses it. And then the horse goes, well, if you're not breathing, I'm not going to breathe, and then that escalates, right? So the whole concept
absolutely.
Of breathing out for downward and breathing up for inward transitions is huge. So you breathe down to go slower, you breathe in to go faster. I mean, it just makes sense because of how we tighten our body and we relax our body based on breath. So
yes,
that's just so
and
good.
I do that exercise where we go literally more for the adults or the teens, and we literally go through every part of their body, like what is their chin doing, where are their shoulders, and everything. And when you go through that, then I say, you know, put your weight down into your seat pockets as if you've got, you know, coins in your back pockets and it's weighting you down. Now, without lifting your seat, now take that weight and bring it up. Because when you first teach that, people think they actually have to lift their seat off the saddle in order to take the weight off the saddle. And that's not correct. You can lift your weight up without moving your seat. And so I've come up with a new term to be able to help them understand that. And I say, get plugged in. So it's just like plugging in an electrical cord into the wall. If it's not flush and straight into that receptacle, then you're not getting the connection. And so I teach them to make sure you're connected with your seat. You can still lift your weight up, but stay connected. And that seems to help them keep their seat in the proper position when they think of that.
And those analogies and those visuals are so important. Even as non-auditory learners, when you give us a visual example, then we can memorize that visual example and then still learn. So I think that's wonderful, Tara. Cool. So how do people find you? If they want to come and learn more about what you have to offer, what is the best way to reach you? Would it be through your website, and what is that?
Sure, yeah. Our website is cloud9ranch.ca. Just to be clear, it's the number 9, not the word 9. So cloud9ranch.ca. And I have to say that name came from, my mom always told me that when I was riding horse, I was on cloud 9. So that was a very fitting name, and that's
I like
very
that.
True. Yeah, I was on cloud 9. When you work on a dairy farm, any chance you get to go ride is very fun. And so cloud9ranch.ca, we also have a Facebook page under cloud9 Ranch. And, of course, we have the Region 2 CHA group, and then myself, Tara Reimer. They can friend me. So.
And one more thing I want to mention to everyone, Tara was our CHA Instructor of the Year last year. She did receive that prestigious title, so that's very exciting, and we are thrilled to have her as part of our CHA family. So thank you, Tara, for being on today.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking me.
Thanks, Tara.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, and now I have a kindred spirit in the draft horse.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come up and get a ride sometime.
Oh, absolutely. We actually use our Belgian for vaulting. He's awesome.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're great for that.
Yeah, very good.
Terrific. Well, thanks, Tara.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Well, that was a very interesting conversation, and, you know, I was thinking about, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how it all correlates to driving and how we tend to use our voices more, and then we use the whip to really touch the sides of the horse, you know, not as a whip, more as a poking, you know, sort of as a touch.
Oh, it works like your horse the rider's leg, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. So that's that's what we have to use, and then of course the reins. But we are more limited than the riders are.
So I'll tell you, I've seen that combined driving, and boy, do they use their weight when they go around those obstacles.
Yep.
Oh my
that's
goodness!
True. True. Either that, if you don't, you flip over and you're out of
yeah.
The car. So.
Yeah, that's to keep from flipping over more so than giving an aid to the horse.
Yeah,
self
exactly.
Defense right there.
I love it.
Keep from dying. Well, let's take a break for our song. I have one I picked out today that I think is appropriate for the CHA show. This is Jared Rogerson, who is a singer-songwriter out of the Midwest, and he wrote this song. It's called Campfire, and he wrote this song with his wife on a packing trip. They were out on a horse trip and in the middle of the mountains, and they were packing, and they were camping one night, and they wrote the song together. So this is a song that he and his wife wrote together. I think it was right before they got engaged. They were still boyfriend-girlfriend at the time, and I just thought it was appropriate for the CHA as well, so it's just a lot of fun. Jared Rogerson, one of our favorite singer-songwriters, will be back with more about this topic of AIDS here on the CHA show on Horses in the Morning.
You could use a couple sticks for a lighter and some gasoline. Get a little steel wool and a 9-volt battery. There's 100 different ways to make that blue, orange, red, and yellow. Build it up as warm and bright as a couple million candles. Campfire. Mother Nature's light, a campfire. Means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way you perfume. burning pine of a campfire. Marshmallow, brown as your summer skin, one lucky fellow that she ended up here with. We can stare at the embers and sit real close like this. Do you feel that burning in your heart and in your shins? Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Campfire. Like a flame is strong enough to start in the rain. And when that hard wind blows, the spark of true love grows and just burns hotter and hotter. Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way you approach me.
Well, that is Campfire by Jared Rogerson. You can find all of Jared's music at jaredrogerson.com, or you can find him on iTunes. Just search for Jared Rogerson. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association, and we're brought to you today by Omega Fields. Well, Christy, while we're waiting for our next guest here, did you get to go out and do any riding over the past month?
You know, I did. I actually got to go up in the mountains and do a trail ride with a bunch of girlfriends, and it was great because we all got on our horses, and they were a little fresh, right? The temperature was a little lower than normal, and we're thinking, ah, this might be interesting. But the trail that we chose was all uphill. It was fabulous. So after about a half mile of that, nobody was fresh anymore. We did, but they were pretty calm by the time we had to come downhill, so it was all good.
And you live where there are some pretty serious hills. We're not talking hills here.
We got some hills out here in Colorado. Yes, we do.
That's funny.
So that was fun.
I wanted to mention as a programming note before we get to our next guest that tomorrow is our 1,000th episode. And we looked back at November 1st of 2010 and checked out who our first guests were. And we had two eventers on that show. We had Olympian Gina Miles, who is from out in the West. And we had Canadian Jessica Phoenix on the show with us. So they are both coming back tomorrow, and they will be participating in the Celebrity Trivia Challenge brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And it'll be America versus the United States tomorrow on the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And it's so much fun that they agreed to come back after being our first guests on the very first show here of Horses in the Morning 4 years ago now. So we appreciate them joining us again. It's all happening tomorrow on Horses in the Morning. And your guest is ready.
Wonderful. Well, our next guest, this is Jerry Barnes. And Jerry used to live here in Colorado and be our regional director out here. She just recently, though, moved to Conroe, Texas, which is right outside of Houston. She has her business out there, Progressive Horsemanship, where she utilizes her Certified Horsemanship Association certification, and she does ranch pleasure, ranch horse versatility, trail, and Western dressage. So she is a friend and a not only in the horses, but also just outside of the horses. And Jerry, it is so great to have you on today. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Christy.
Wonderful to hear your voice. Would you like to add anything more about your background before we get started on today's topic?
Not really. I think we can get started. This is a great topic.
Great. Well, we're excited about it. Tara and I were just talking about natural aids and what they are and how they work. So we're going to get into a little bit more detail on them. Can you let us know what happens when a horse decides to communicate with us if a rider is not using their natural aids properly? What are some things that the horse might do when natural aids run awry?
Boy, that is a good one. And I think a lot of times riders don't recognize that that is the message that is being communicated, that the rider is not using their natural aids correctly. A lot of times what we hear are the riders wanting to blame their horses, saying, stupid horse, or he's an idiot today, or things like that. Or they think that their horse is intentionally misbehaving, when in reality, they're the problem. So what I think we need to look for is when a horse gets a worried look, possibly showing white in their eyes. Sometimes they'll hold their breath. And then with their head, they can be very expressive. Sometimes they'll elevate their heads. They'll throw their heads. They'll pull the bit out of your hands. And I think most of us have had that experience where a horse will take that bit and just like root their neck and try to pull the bit of the reins out of your hands. Sometimes they'll carry themselves behind the bit. They're trying to get away from pressure. And sometimes they actually just clamp down on the bit. And that's just the head. Do you want me to go on with some more?
I would love it.
Okay, they'll pin their ears. They'll swish their tail or they'll wring their tail. You can actually feel them stomping their feet while they're walking or trotting or loping. They'll just specifically stomp their feet. They'll have a brace in their neck. And when they have a brace in their neck, you'll find that they'll make it very difficult for you to try to guide their head in directions. They frequently won't move forward. Or the opposite, they'll start to back up, and you're not in control of that backup. They're backing up, and you're trying to make the horse go forward. And that is that can be the beginning of a really dangerous behavior, which is rearing. But that's kind of how it starts. They can break gait. So you're trying to get them, you're working on your nice trot, you're trotting along, and the horse keeps falling out of the gate. A lot of times that's because you're the problem, not because the horse is misbehaving. And then lastly, the last little section here is it can get downright dangerous. They can start bucking, they can rear, they can become a runaway. And last, and sometimes, and thankfully not a lot of people experience this, but sometimes they'll lay down and try to roll you off.
Especially when you're crossing water through the river and they're hot. That's not any fun at all.
So in addition to the insult, you get drenched.
Yes. And, you know, I am sure with people listening, all of us, even if we've been riding a long time and think we're actually pretty good, this is one of the most humbling sports in the world, because you're going to all of a sudden have a different horse-rider combo and you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how to ride anymore. And it's because that horse is just so much more sensitive or whatever, right? So you're absolutely correct.
That is just the truth. And that probably is one of the higher levels of the good horsemanship part of using your natural aids, is not only first recognizing it, which is what this question is all about. How do you recognize that the horse is not hearing you, that the horse is in conflict with what you think you're telling the horse to do? But then it starts to vary from horse to horse because their levels of sensitivity. I mean, my goodness, some horses just are like, nah, I don't think I'm moving today. And that's just who they are. And then you have to adjust your aids to the other extreme. You have horses that are very sensitive. And if you do certain things, they're out of there. They're in the next pasture.
So could you, Jerry, give us some specific examples of how natural aids could be used to increase, we'll start with, the energy in a horse, to get that slower moving guy or gal to want to get going a little bit more?
Oh, you bet. You know, when you get to watch, when you have the honor of watching a really successful partnership between a rider and the horse, it is just beauty in motion. And what frequently when you see that kind of a partnership, you're not really getting to see the subtleties that are increasing and decreasing the energy in that horse and allowing the horse to offering the horse the information and being able to communicate to get done on a very subtle basis. So that does take years and years and years. But some of the things that as riders making that journey, beginner riders, intermediate riders, and even the advanced riders, one of the things that we can do is use the body position, and we can have, you know, we do the good things like your heels down, look up. That's a common instruction. But one of the very, very basic things is breathing. Isn't that the truth, Christy?
Oh, absolutely. Tara and I were talking about it a bit already, but it can certainly be talked about more. I think people forget the breath all the time.
We absolutely, and you know, you can be an advanced rider and be really focused on something and forget to breathe. That's always an issue. And I'm sure that she covered the fact that breathing allows your body to stay soft enough to ride with the horse's movement. And that would be like the first step of increasing energy or decreasing energy is just riding with the horse instead of against the horse. And then the opposite of breathing is exhaling. So exhaling, when you exhale frequently, you can slow a horse down, decrease its energy, and you can even stop a horse with the exhale. Seat rhythm is huge. You can increase and decrease the horse's energy and movement if you slow down your seat movement. And I don't know if all the listeners are familiar with when we say seat movement, it does include the legs, the seat bones, the balance, all of those natural aids kind of in combination. And then your goal is to move with that horse. And so if you take that seat and you stay with the movement of the horse, pretty much you're going to get whatever that movement is. But if you start to slow yourself down in your seat, frequently you can decrease that movement. And likewise, if you want to increase it, you increase that seat movement.
Can I ask
absolutely
a quick question? So,
please,
are there any differences? Do you see any differences between men and women when it comes to AIDS?
Oh my gosh, but let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to stay on the increasing and decreasing part
okay
for just a sec. Okay.
Yeah.
Leg pressure. We talk about how leg pressure influences the horse's energy level. And if you are active with your legs frequently, that's going to result in an increase in the horse's energy and movement. If you can slow your leg movement down, relax your thigh muscles and your calf muscles, not just one or the other, you can slow a horse down. Your arms and your hands can increase the horse's energy. Many of your listeners are familiar with the term half halt, or in the Western world we call it check and release. That is a huge use of your arms, where your arms have to be sensitive and your arms can actually ask the horse to pull back his energy but not stop. And that's a skill that you need to really learn. That's not a very, you know, we're using the term natural, but it's not one that we would automatically think about. When we think about coming back with our arms, we think about stopping the horse, but you can actually half halt the horse. And then probably the very the one that a lot of people don't bother to think about is how their own energy level influences the horse's energy level. So if you approach a horse really energetically, depending upon the horse, because the horse, different horses have different reactions to that, but a lot of times you'll increase the horse's energy level by you having an increased energy level. And if you want to bring a horse's energy level down, if you try to bring your own energy level down, and that's an exercise. I like to kid about the fact that horses are a natural biofeedback mechanism. Some people spend a lot of money learning biofeedback, and just own a horse and you'll learn how to do that.
That's so true. And, you know, you're right about the whole, we call them hot seats, slow seats sometimes, right? Your high-energy people tend to have more of a hot seat, and everybody they get on just goes. And then your slower, your more type B, kind of calm personality style people sometimes have what we call a slower seat, and they can make even the most tense of horses really relaxed. So I think that's really true. And this might be a great time now to go ahead and talk a little bit about Glenn's question. I'll go ahead and answer from my perspective, Glenn, and then if Jerry has anything to add. When I work with men and women, they are very different from the standpoint of body parts that are strong and not strong. Most of the time, your women are going to have a stronger leg. They're going to have a stronger upper thigh, sometimes even a stronger core, whereas your men tend to do everything with their hands, right? They tend to be more upper body strong and chest strong and arm strong. So I love taking the reins away from my adult gentlemen. I think that's so much fun.
Yes.
And putting them on a lunge line and saying, utilize your legs, gentlemen. Don't always go to the hands. Utilize your legs more. And for the ladies, I think that they do a whole lot more kind of have that lower body strength, whereas men tend to have more upper body strength. And that's one of the big differences that I see. How about you, Jerry?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same exact thing. So hopefully that answers your question, Glenn.
Yep. I kind of figured that was the answer, but
yeah. So Jerry, I so appreciate the increase decrease comment. Now I'm going to go kind of in a different way now. Where else can natural aids be used besides riding? So in other words, how important is our body language in general?
Oh boy. That's the big question, and I love that question because one of my approaches when I start to work with people is I don't immediately get them on a horse. I say, do you mind if we have a 30-minute conversation? Let's sit down here, have a cup of coffee, and let's talk about how the horse is going to perceive your interaction with it, where you fit in this horse's world. And we all know that there's flight instinct, and we all know that there's herd instinct. And the herd instinct is absolutely based on your body language. It has to do with your ability to communicate using your body and what the body is made up of, those parts that are the natural aids. So when you take in total what we've all been talking about in this whole session today, the natural aids, using your voice and your weight and your legs and your eyes and your hands, and you put that together, that becomes body language. Now that's a language that your horse can understand. And then you go to the premise of what is the horse learning with your body language? And your body language is going to tell them, just starting with the basics, who's in charge? Where in your little herd of two, you and your horse, which one of you is the more dominant? Which one's the leader? Which one has earned the respect? So body language is a huge thing, separate from the riding, the actual riding aspect. And so I don't know, do you want me to get more in specific as to how we influence with our body language?
You know, I think you're absolutely right, though, and I just so appreciate you bringing up the herd instinct because horses are very nonverbal. Sure, they'll neigh to each other and nicker to each other, but most of the time it's nonverbal that's going on in the herd. So they're perceiving us nonverbally as well. So our body language on the ground for natural aids, as well as up top when we're riding them, is huge. So I just really appreciate that. And if you do want to give us some exercises and maybe some common mistakes and how we can fix them. I know you had mentioned earlier about all the different things that can go awry with the breaking of the gate and the head tossing and the backing up and those types of things when we don't want them to.
Oh, yeah.
What are some ways that riders can really analyze their own riding? Give us a few examples and how we can fix those issues.
Absolutely. And this is where, you know, you now have learned to get on the horse. You learned your cues and you think that everything should work perfectly. And all of a sudden, as we said in a previous question, all of a sudden the horse is like not moving forward. And so, and you're using your seat and you're using your legs and you're going, what's wrong with this horse? A lot of times there is a conflict there because you're keeping pressure on the horse's mouth with the bit. You're holding him back, so your legs and your seat are saying go forward, and yet the horse is also feeling the pressure on his mouth, which basically is saying stop. So that is absolutely a contradiction. So what you need to do then is push your reins forward. It'll free up the horse, and it'll frequently result in the forward movement that you've been looking for. Another big one that we hear as instructors is, why is this horse speeding up when I'm not asking for that? Well, frequently what is happening is you've allowed your body to tip forward. The horse will increase his speed almost predictably when you're sitting with your upper body forward because he is trying to get under you. He's trying to balance himself, and there's this lump up there that's leaning forward, so he's trying to get under you. That increases his speed, and your solution would be sit back, sit up, don't lean forward. And then that leads right into the instructor comment, look up, because as soon as you start to look down, it throws your weight forward, and one more time, that horse will speed up. We see that a lot. Then, when you are trying to stop your horse, now some people have trouble stopping their horse, and they're pulling back on the reins, and they're going, why won't this horse stop? Why won't this horse stop? Well, they haven't paid attention to the fact that their legs and their thighs and their calves are frequently still clomped down on the horse. So the horse, one more time, is acknowledging the cue of pulling back, meaning stop, but the rest of your body is saying go because it's squeezing. Go, go. And so if you are able to exhale, get soft in your body, and yet you separate your arms from the rest of your body, pull back, you'll get a nice soft stop.
That's so true. I just want to mention really quick, Jerry. No, I just want to mention really quick the lean forward one. You know, people go into fetal position all the time when they're scared, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a natural instinct to protect our internal organs. And if you think uh-huh. about riding, it's counterintuitive. Because when we ride a horse, you're actually safer if you're sitting up and exposing your internal organs and bringing your shoulders uh-huh. back and sitting deep in the saddle. So you're absolutely right. That leaning forward thing, I like you see that so many times. So I so appreciate you bringing that one up.
Yeah, and just to kind of let the listeners know, one of the things they can do, because, you know, you can acknowledge this, you can say it, their listeners hear it, but one of the really easy solutions and is to, at a stop, just ask the riders to take their arms and extend their arms in front of them. Then pull them back, extend, pull back, extend, pull back. And they can do that. And then and so then we say, okay, now you can see that you can move your arms separately. Your arms are not connected to your upper body. So when you pull back, your whole body doesn't have to be part of that pulling back. You can sit upright and use your arms separately. And it's just like a little thing that when the listeners hear that, when the writers hear that, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. And then that's the little piece that's added that allows them to stay vertical and yet be able to use their arms separately.
That's a great exercise, Jerry. And there's so many good things for people to realize that their body is not one unit. It's all separate, and then all these natural aids, uh-huh. even though they can be used in unison, they can also be used separately for success.
Absolutely.
So, Jerry, we're going to have to wrap up here in just a second, but give uh-huh. us one more exercise that you would like to, and then also please give us your website so that people know where to find you.
Okay. Probably one of how I'd kind of like to wrap this up, it would be by saying that the rider's journey, riding their horse, is going to come in mastering the small skills. And that will lead to a really satisfying relationship with your horse where you're not fighting with your horse. You're doing your job, he's doing his job, and you'll almost become one in your thoughts and your riding. And so if you do refine your use of those natural and the artificial aids, it creates this wonderful unison, this wonderful feeling, and an important end goal would be to ride from your seat and legs with just the suggestion of guidance from your reins. And that changes your whole way of thought, your whole way of riding, if you think, I'm going to ride from my legs. So if you find a good instructor and you have a good horse to be your partner in this journey, you're going to be just so excited about the end result.
What a great way to wrap that up. I love that. Use your leg in your seat with a hint of your hands.
Yep.
That's a wonderful way to wrap it up, Jerry.
It is 180 out from how people first start riding, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
So if people live near Houston, Texas, how do they find you to learn more? What is your website address?
It's progressivehorsemanship.com.
Great, Jerry. Well, I so appreciate you being on today and sharing in this topic. I think that it is absolutely, like Tara was saying, and you, a topic that's so important, but people tend to just brush over it. But everything we do, whether it's trot, canter, jog, lope, jumping a jump, a reining pattern, natural aids come into play with everything we do, both on and off our horse. So I so appreciate you being on today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry. All right. Well, that was an interesting I've already gotten some messages on Facebook about how people were enjoying the conversation today. So, you know, A's is one of the basics that if you don't get that right, you aren't getting anything right. So you will end up
so
in that
true.
River you talked about.
You just might, as you know.
Not happily.
We often...
Yes.
That's true. And we often think, you know, when people fall off a horse, right? Normally, 90% actually fall forward off their horse. So they fall over the shoulder of the horse and they land on their shoulder themselves or their head, or they put their arm out and brace themselves or whatever. Very rarely do we fall off backwards. We might if the horse rears or if the horse bolts out from under us, but normally we're going to fall forward, and that's because the minute things go awry, we want to grip the saddle horn, we want to go into fetal position, and we want to lean forward, right? When in reality, we need to be doing what Jerry said and sitting upright, looking upright, chucking our tail under us, and sitting in the middle of that horse's balance point. Absolutely.
Well, there you go. And, you know, as we said earlier in the show, there have been many previous CHA shows. So if you're just tuning in, if you're a new listener, if you're one of our new listeners from Poland, we had a whole bunch of people from Poland download the app last week, then and you missed some of the previous episodes of the CHA here on Horses in the Morning, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search for Certified Horsemanship. It'll bring up all the past episodes, and you can take a listen to them there. You can also listen to the shows at on our app, which is the simplest, easiest way to listen. Just go to the App Store and iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network. And, of course, you can find the Certified Horsemanship Association at
chainstructors.com.
And where will they go when they go to the website? If they, you earlier in the show, you talked about some regional events and then the national conference coming up. Where would they go to find that on the website?
Absolutely. We have an international conference tab at the top and also regional conferences, which would be the ones that are all around the country and up in Canada. And then we also have a tab on there I want to mention about webinars. We do a once-a-month webinar. So if you don't have time to get in your car or get on an airplane and go somewhere, you can also do things via webinar with us. We have one coming up here at the end of the month. Lynn Blevin, who is from Cornell University, and she's one of our CHA instructors. And on September 30th, she's going to be talking about pasture rotation, manure management, and how to make it all work on your property. But we have a lot of other ones that are recorded from the past that you can also listen to. So anybody who wants to do that, that's another way to educate yourself.
Very good. And, of course, you can find all of that at the Certified Horsemanship website or on their Facebook page, because they do have one. It's easy. Just search for Certified Horsemanship Association. And, of course, we will be back here tomorrow on Horses in the Morning for our 1,000th, I can't talk. I don't know what happened, but our 1,000th episode here tomorrow on Horses in the Morning Live, and we'll look forward to having you all there. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Christy, for being part of it.
Thank you. It was wonderful, and I look forward to the show tomorrow and all your shows in between now and when I'm back on with you next month.
All right. Thanks, Christy. And, of course, that is always the third Tuesday of every month.
Got it right this time. Yay, Glenn.
I did. I got it right. I just gave myself the wrong sound.
Gave yourself a daily Winnie for getting it right.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Good job, Glenn.
It's such a good show till the end. So I had to do something.